Thank you so much for having me. It's a privilege to be in your family, and that's what it is here. Thanks. And we're family. I'm just throwing stuff. It's all right. I'm sitting because I fell down some stairs a couple of weeks ago, and my knee's still not quite happy about standing for long periods. Oh, I could really sit. So, yeah, let's just close our eyes. And we just thank you for your presence among us today, Lord. We just breathe you in. Yeah. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill my mouth with your words, with your life, and with your power. Sure. Lord, that you'd open our ears to hear what you're saying, our eyes to see what you're doing, and our hearts to receive all that you have for us today. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. So yes, yesterday was a wonderful day. Thank you all for participating. So we did start off with the Father's heart, the Father's love. And we learnt lots of things, and hopefully it resonated and fell into our spirits that the Father loves us as much as he loves Jesus. The Father loves us as much as he loves Jesus. You know, that's mind-blowing. We have all these reasons. Well, he couldn't love me because. But he died he loved us while we were still sinners, as the word says. So. But this morning, as I was talking with Brooke, we just felt that maybe part of that is we can know the Father loves us in some ways, but some of us, and we all have tendencies of an orphan spirit where we feel like we're not fully his, or, you know, Jesus is his. Wow. As we think of orphans, you know, it's like, well, they're a real son and I'm just an adopted one. So we're just going to talk about that a little bit today. And So revelation of the Father will change everything in our lives, as it did for me. If we allow the revelation of the Father to touch every area of our lives, he will deal with our fears, our insecurities, our pain, because we'll then have an assurance that he will not leave us. God is a father by nature. He is love by nature. And we have become his sons and daughters. Romans 4:4-7 says, God sent his son that we might receive the full rights of sons. And because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer slaves, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And he was speaking to the disciples when he said this in John 14. And it's unlikely that they were orphans in the natural. So Jesus is saying that we are spiritual orphans, not natural orphans. And until we come into that fullness of sonship, you know, we can still have those tendencies of an orphan. So Satan's position. Satan began by alienating himself from the love of the Father when he rebelled against God and exalted himself. And his ambition was and is to displace God. And we know that Satan was cast out of heaven and the heavens, the Father's presence was lost. Satan decided he didn't want God as his Father and he became the first spiritual orphan. When we act like an orphan, we are making an agreement with Satan and his choices. It's a heart-soul condition that needs healing and walking out. We use the term orphan tendencies or the orphan spirit because it is not a spirit that can be cast out. There may be demons that attach to it, but we usually do not become a son through a short ministry time. We can receive some ministry, but then it also has to be walked out on a daily basis. And we know that. We come to a conference, we hear something for the next week, we're walking in that and thinking, this is great, and then it slowly slips away if we're not continuing to pursue what the Lord's been doing in our hearts. So, signs of an orphan heart. Orphans are rarely able to receive affection, affirmation, security, comfort, protection. And when life grows wrong, we close our spirit and isolate ourselves and go from being joyful to acting like a withdrawn and somber orphan. We live as if we do not have a loving and affirming home with the Father God, a safe place. And this is one of the greatest hindrances to receiving healing and walking in love. Basic trust needs to be restored in order to daily feel secure enough to receive the love that is needed to heal our wounded hearts. So I shared a little bit of my story yesterday. I was abused as a child, and at 13 my father died, but he was also very busy, he was an absent father. He worked a lot, he was a carpenter building houses, and he was the captain of the local fire brigade, so he was off doing all that sort of stuff. But he was also, if he wasn't there, those two places, he was at the pub. And so he was very absent even before he died. But for me, I didn't want to accept that he'd died. And so for the next 15 years, I would say to people that I just didn't have a father. I couldn't say the words that he died. I didn't go to the funeral. I asked to go next door and stay with friends for the first week after he died. There was just this denial in me that he had gone. And so when I was 15, I was joking with my mother, as we do, and I said, oh, we saved the best till last. I had an older sister who died at 52, and I have an older brother. And I said, you saved the best till last. And she said, if I'd have known about contraceptives, you wouldn't be here. And so I had grown up in the church, not because of my mother, but because of her mother, my grandmother. And so I had spent time, I knew about Jesus, I knew about God, all of that sort of stuff. But it was beach missions, Scripture Union beach missions with my grandmother at the beach every year. And there was this one guy who always said to me, okay, Sandy, you know that you have to ask Jesus into your heart. You can't just go into a church and think that you're a Christian or that you're in the kingdom. And I'd say, yeah, I know. And then we'd go off and have fun and do all the good things. But after my mother said that to me, I went to my room, got on my knees, and I said, well, Lord, you must have wanted me, and gave my heart to the Lord. I gave my heart to Jesus, but there was no father. So, and then at 17, I was part of a singing group, and I was part of a uniting church. We did a tent meeting with a Pentecostal group. Watch out. And they spoke on being baptized in the Spirit and speaking in tongues. And so there were 10 of us girls in this group. So we went down the front for the altar call. We all got slain in the Spirit. We went down. And we all got up speaking in tongues and being baptized in the Spirit. It was a wonderful experience, and, yeah, I came alive in some ways. And so then when I was 31, when I was 30, I was on a mission ship called the Doulos, which some of you may have seen here in Sydney at some point, with a group called Operation Mobilisation. So I was on the ship. I'd committed for 2 years. About 18 months in, my mother called me and said that she had cancer in her bowel. And so that was all fine, but once they operated on that, it was then in her liver. And in those days, it wasn't as easily helped, saved. So I called her doctor and I said, well, I'm meant to be away for another 6 months. He said, well, she's probably got 3 months, if that. It's very aggressive. So I had to decide. Obviously, at 15, my relationship with my mother ceased because I thought, well, you don't want me. So church became my family. And, yes, I had some wonderful friends. Church still is my family. I'm single, never been married, don't have kids. So, so I had to make the decision, do I go home to be with my mum while she's dying when she was never there for me? So again, the Lord had to deal with hard things for me, and I decided to come home. And she went into remission, and she was one of the first to have the implant right into her liver, and they directly put the chemo in. And so it did actually work for about a year. And then by 31, she had passed. So I am literally an orphan since I was 31. But all of those things have affected my experience and my understanding of God the Father. So about 9 years after that, I was in the States at a discipleship school on a ranch, which was wonderful. And one of the ladies named Bunny, you only get a bunny in the States. And she said, I'd like to do some ministry with you. And I thought, no way. I knew there was stuff. I knew I had lots of hurts. I didn't want to go there. Anyway, so eventually she got me in a room. I thought, I've got to do this because she's not going to leave me alone. And so I shared my story. And she said to me, you've had enough pain for 10 years, a lifetime of 10 years. She said, I want to show you something. So she took me into the bathroom and stood me in front of a mirror, which I never did, never looked at myself in a mirror. And she said, what do you see? And I said, I see someone I hate. And she said, but if you look deeper into your eyes, what do you see? I said, I see someone in a lot of pain. And she said, yes. So then for the next couple of hours, she ministered to me. We broke off a lot of stuff. And at the end of that, I knew God was my Father, that he was always there for me. Still is. Well, should I see her? And I walked out of the building and sat in a garden, and this beautiful monarch butterfly came and sat on my shoulder. And the Father said, you've been born again today. You're stepping into a new way of living. So obviously, everything didn't just change. There are things that we need to mentally, the battlefield is in the mind. There are things we need to mentally change in our mindsets. And so it was still a journey. In 2014, I was at a conference where they talked about the Father Heart, and part of what they did at the end of it was you could come up and get a father's hug. And so I went up to this gentleman and his wife. They hugged me and were talking, praying for me, which was lovely. And I went and sat down and I thought, okay. And then I looked at this other gentleman and I just thought, So I went over to him and I said, would you mind? And he said, no. So he hugged me and said nothing. And the Lord took me to my driveway. So the day that my father died, he died overnight in his sleep, and I had to go around the corner to get my auntie and uncle to call the ambulance because we didn't have a phone. And so I came back from that and I sat on the drain in the driveway to be away from it all. Denial. That lovely river in Egypt. Denial. Anyway. And so so the Lord took me back to that place, and he looked at me as I sat on that drain. He lifted me up and he said, I was here. I was always here. He held me and loved me. He said it was okay. And we walked out my driveway and onto the beach in Queenscliff, which is where I spent all my Christmases with my grandparents and was my happy place and where I meet with the Lord at the beach. And he walked me onto the beach and we just walked off together, and he spoke to me, lots of stuff. But this was just this amazing experience of his love that really did do a huge shift in my heart as I got healing from that moment, from that memory. But we need to know we are really perfectly and unconditionally loved and accepted by the Father God. As I mentioned yesterday, my mother was a perfectionist, so I could never do anything right or good enough. And I did love my mother. I'm not, you know, in the end, I did love my mother. But, yeah, so it was hard for me to feel accepted. I was always trying to earn people's love and trying to be the good girl and trying to be quiet. That was the other thing with the abuse that caused me to lose my voice. So I couldn't speak or share, or, you know, I just hid in the background. And that's the way I felt with God too. I felt like I'd snuck in the back door of heaven, but I was in the back, and if he saw me, he would ask me to leave. That was how I felt before those experiences. So if you think about a baby, and we've got a couple here, they don't question that their mum and dad love them. You know, they just, there's nothing a baby can do to receive love. They're just so cute, you want to. So sonship is about security. It's about significance. It's about identity. It's about patience, basic trust, faithfulness, loyalty to the father and to the family, humility, and being others-oriented. So where are we? We have a slide. The first. So these are some of the things. As you see the spirit of orphan on the left and spirit of sonship on the right, it is a little bit small, but... And so these are how we see God, our picture of God. So as an orphan, you see God as master. For me, I saw him as distant. But as a son, we see God as a loving father. With the orphan spirit, we're independent and self-reliant, which I certainly was, probably still am a little bit. But as a son, we're dependent upon him. We live by the law as an orphan. Got to do it right, got to be right, got to all of those things. But as a son, we live by the law of love. Security, well, orphans are very insecure, lack of peace, all of those things. But in God, we have rest and peace. As an orphan, I needed approval, I needed acceptance, I needed people to say, hey, you're great. But as a son, we're just accepted in God's love, justified by grace. Our motives as an orphan is often just around us. Sure. But our motive for God is that we're just deep gratitude. I mean, when he loves us, we know we're accepted by him. We want to serve him. It's not out of compunction to have to do it so he will love us. We do it because we love him. So Christian disciplines, we do them out of duty and earning God's favour, or we don't do any at all as an orphan. But it's a pleasure and delight when you're a son to spend time to pray, to read his word, get to know him more. Motive behind Christian, we've done that. Motive for purity, must be holy God's favour. I don't know what. Increasing shame and guilt, definitely. But with God, we don't want anything to hinder that intimacy. Our self-image, self-rejection, comparing ourselves. Comparison is so of the devil, so bad. Self-image, positive, affirmed by the value to God. I'm worthy because God. He sees me as worthy because of what Jesus has done. Our source of comfort comes from counterfeit affections, addictions, all of those sort of things. But with the Son, it's about resting in the Father's presence and love. There's a whole heap more, but we won't go into them now. So you probably saw yourself on some of the orphan side, which we all do. There are all still tendencies within that we can do that. But today I want you to know that you are a son. If you've accepted him, Jesus, into your heart, if you're part of his family, then you are a son or a daughter. Of course we know when it says son that it means both. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship. Romans 8, 14 and 15. It was interesting. A class of young people were asked about this little boy. He said, your hair's different than everybody else in your family, and your nose is different than everyone else in your family. And one of the children suggested that he was adopted. Another girl said, I know what adopted means because I was adopted. And the teacher asked her what she thought it meant. She said, it's when you grow in your mum's heart instead of her tummy. Isn't that beautiful? And we definitely grew in God's heart long, long before he thought of the world, created the world. He had you in mind, had set his affection on you. I love that, Ephesians 1, in the Message. So, Ephesians 1, 5, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons according to his goodwill and pleasure. John 15, you did not choose me, I chose you. Deuteronomy 1, the Lord carried you as a father carries his son. So let's just close our eyes for a moment. And just ask Holy Spirit, is there just one thing he wants to pinpoint today that you see as part of that orphan spirit? It might just be that you don't feel like a son. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had you in mind. He had settled on you as the focus of his love. To be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt you into his family through Jesus Christ. And what pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving, by the hand of his beloved Son. So, Father, I thank you that you had your heart set on each person in this room, even before we were born. I thank you that you chose us, that you adopted us into your family, that we are now sons and daughters of the Most High God. I thank you that we are accepted and beloved in that family, that we belong in the family of God. And Lord, where we've operated out of any of these orphan spirit tendencies, Lord, that you would come and reveal yourself afresh to us in that area. That you'd come and set us free from those mindsets that have held us captive there. That today we would all know afresh how great the love of the Father is for us. So great that he sent his only Son to be a sacrifice for us. And Lord, as we journey on from here, that you would continue to reveal those things that are an orphan tendency rather than a son walking in what a son is. I just see the Lord having a party in heaven right now. Sure. Yeah, you love it when your kids come to that revelation of who they are in you, who you've called them to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.